Time now for the latest world sport from the BBC with me, Ed Harry. Coming up, more on Manchester United's plans to sell off a quarter of the club to help pay off their debts. Tony Fernandez completes his takeover of Queen's Park Rangers. More than half the clubs in the Premier League are now under foreign ownership. And with the latest from the Cincinnati Tennis, where Nadal and Murray are through. First though, Manchester United are to sell off around 25% of the club to partly pay off their $850 million debts. It's understood the club has now lodged a listing application with the Singapore Stock Exchange, and depending on how long the exchange takes to approve the application, the float could be completed by November. The BBC's sports editor David Bond has been following the story. He says it's unclear how the remainder of the money might be used.
At the moment, we don't know, and fans want to know what's going to happen with that money, because the suspicion is that they might try and use it to pay off personal debts, maybe prop up other parts of their American business. So, again, question marks over how the Glazers run and own Manchester United.
And what's the thinking behind floating it on a Far East Stock Exchange rather than the London Stock Exchange?
Well, the thinking there is quite simple, that Manchester United see themselves as a global brand. The Glazers see Asia as the best area for growth in the future. They say that about a third of their supporter base, actually more than a third, come from Asia. And so that's the area where they want to grow. And of course, this will raise more questions about whether their traditional links to Manchester, to England, are being eroded by this move. You've now got American owners and the club floating in Singapore, so there will be new issues about that. But there is no question, you go anywhere in the world, their profile is the highest. They are the richest sports team and the most valuable sports brand in the world. So you can kind of see the logic of what they're doing here.
The Malaysian entrepreneur Tony Fernandez has completed his takeover of the newly promoted English Premier League side Queen's Park Rangers. He's acquired a controlling stake in the London club after buying out the majority shareholders Flavio Briatore and Bernie Eccleston. The BBC's Mike Sewell has more.
47-year-old Fernandez, founder of budget airline Air Asia and owner of the Team Lotus Formula One outfit, has purchased the shares previously held by Bernie Eccleston and Flavio Briatore. Lakshmi Mittal will retain his 33% shareholding in the club, meaning a return as vice chairman for his son-in-law, Amit Bhatia. Fernandez, who'll take over as chairman, admits to being a lifelong West Ham fan, and only 2 months ago had an offer to buy a majority stake in the Hammers, rejected. But speaking of today's announcement, Fernandez said he has always had a soft spot for QPR, having lived and grown up in the area. And while not making any big promises he says he can't guarantee, Fernandez referred to QPR as a raw diamond, which he hopes he can help turn into a diamond.
Yes, Fernandez says there will be some money available to strengthen the squad, and he's also given his full backing to manager Neil Warnock.
I think he's the right man for this job. He's very committed, he's very passionate, he's got oodles of experience, and he's very infectious. His enthusiasm is very infectious, and I like that.
Yeah. Now, have you got any money to buy a couple of players?
Well, yeah, I mean, we can't come in here without giving Neil something, but I also want to say that the previous owners did put some good budget in, and there are some decent players here. But we're not going to be a Man City or a Chelsea, etc. But the squad is good, and Neil feels you need 3 or 4 more players, and that's what we'll discuss later on.
Tony Fernandez, new owner of Queen's Park Rangers. Elsewhere in the English Premier League, Chelsea will be without first-choice goalkeeper Petr Cech for up to 4 weeks after he sustained a knee ligament injury during training on Wednesday. And the Nigerian striker Peter Odemwinge has signed a new 3-year contract at West Bromwich Albion. The Europa League playoffs have begun to decide places in the group stage. Tottenham, one of 3 English Premier League sides involved, celebrated a 5-0 win in the away leg at Hearts. Watching at Tynecastle in Edinburgh for the BBC was Conor McNamara.
Tottenham fans have had to wait a little bit longer than most to get their season underway, but even after a summer of worryingly sparse transfer activity and worrying rumours about the likely departure of Luka Modric, all the same there was plenty to be optimistic about in Edinburgh. During festival week, Harry Redknapp's side can expect rave reviews for this performance. There were 5 different goal scorers, Van der Vaart, Defoe and Livermore in the first half, Bale and Lennon in the second period. Tottenham's next game, though, might be a tad bit more difficult. They go to Old Trafford on Monday.
As we heard there, Rafael van der Vaart was one of 5 different scorers for Spurs. He said it was especially pleasing they performed so well after the London riots had led to what should have been their opening Premier League game being postponed last Saturday.
It was a really strange pre-season. Normally we had already a game in the league, and so the game was cancelled, and it's always difficult to start your first game in Europe, especially here, and with a great crowd, but it went well, so we are quite happy.
The second leg's almost a dead rubber now, though. Would you concede that Spurs are through?
Yeah, of course.
Stoke City beat Thun 1-0 in Switzerland, and Fulham defeated the Ukrainian side Dnipro 3-0 at Craven Cottage. Elsewhere, Schalke lost 2-0 to HJK Helsinki in Finland. Atletico Madrid beat Guimaraes 2-0 in Spain. Last year's runners-up Braga were held to a goalless draw at home by Young Boys of Bern. Rennes won 2-1 at Red Star Belgrade. While the night's biggest winners were Lazio, they scored 6 without reply at home to Robotniki Kometal of Macedonia. To cricket next here on the BBC World Service, and England's hopes of completing a whitewash against India have been hampered by the weather. Rain prevented any play after lunch at the Oval on the opening day of the fourth and final test, meaning England will resume on Friday on 75 without loss in their first innings. More from the BBC's Lee James.
After surrendering the series in their number one test ranking, the English weather decided to step in and save India from what was shaping up to be another one-sided contest. Despite the overcast conditions, England had made the most of some ineffective bowling to reach 75 without loss at lunch before persistent rain prevented any further play. India's low-key opening session surely has to rank as their worst of the series with a new ball. Forced into making a change, with their leading wicket-taker Pravin Kumar struggling with pain in his right ankle, their bowling attack allowed Strauss 38 and Cook 34 to settle with minimal fuss. There was little to test them apart from a few probing deliveries from Ishant Sharma and a general lack of intensity from the whole team. On this evidence, England's dominance looks set to continue as they aim to complete their first series whitewash over India for 37 years.
Rafael Nadal and Andy Murray are through to the quarterfinals at the Masters Series Tennis in Cincinnati. Nadal fought through 3 tiebreak sets before seeing off his fellow Spaniard Fernando Verdasco at 7-6, 6-7, 7-6. The BBC's Philip Studd was courtside.
Without doubt the best match of the tournament so far, a 3-set epic lasting well beyond 3.5 hours. Nadal and Verdasco lit up the centre court with an exhibition of brutal hitting. Verdasco, who generates a frightening pace on his forehand, twice broke the Nadal serve in the first set but ended up losing it on a tiebreak. He then won the second set tiebreak to force the decider, and it took a 5th match point in the third breaker for the world number 2 to break his Spanish compatriot's resistance. The standing ovation for both players richly deserved. Joining Nadal in the last 8, the top seed Novak Djokovic, who beat Radek Stepanek 6-3, 6-3, and world number 4 Andy Murray, a straight sets winner over Alex Bogomolov. Thomas Berdych and Mardy Fish are also through, while there were victories in the women's event for the number 5 seed Sam Stosur and Maria Sharapova.
LeBron James remains hopeful an agreement can be reached on a labour dispute between owners and players, which has meant that NBA basketball has been shut down since July the 1st. Team owners and players failed to reach agreement on a new collective bargaining arrangement, but the NBA has still been able to release the full playing schedule for next season. James was speaking during a promotional tour of Asia and said he wished he could do more to try and end the lockout.
I would love to be more involved, but, you know, I'm doing a lot of things. My schedule permits me from being at all the meetings, but anytime I get an opportunity to go to the meetings, I try to be a part of it and just try to see, you know, the best way that the players and the owners can figure this out so we can have an NBA season, because, you know, it's the best thing to do, not only for the players, for the owners, but, you know, for the fans, and that's what it's all about.
LeBron James. And our top sports story this hour, Manchester United are to sell off around 25% of the club to partly pay off their $850 million debts. It's understood that United have now lodged a listing application with the Singapore Stock Exchange. And with that news of Manchester United, more of course on our website at bbcworldservice.com. But that is now the latest sport from the BBC here in London.